Yeah, right.
I just had straight shipping.
Okay.
I wish I just let it come.
I can't say so. Well, especially since it's all right. Yeah.
Your machine up and running, Andrew?
Sure is.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the December 4th meeting of Orrville City Council. If you'll stand with me, Brad News, the pastor from Orrville Baptist Church, will lead us in prayer this evening.
Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to come together and to conduct the business of the city. And I pray your blessing upon the council and all those that will participate tonight. May, Lord, what they say be pleasing in your sight. And Father, I also pray for just this season, a season of love that can be found in the birth of your Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to celebrate that in this city. And I just ask, Lord, your blessing over all this said, all this done, for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
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 I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor. Have roll call, please.
Shu.
Here.
Wilson.
Absent.
Vance.
Here.
Hampshire.
Present.
Asparis.
Here.
Korfman.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Everyone should have received a copy of our minutes from the November 20th meeting. Does anyone have any additions or corrections to those minutes? Mr. Vance.
I move we adopt the minutes of the November 20th meeting.
Thank you. And second, Mr. Hampshire.
Wilson.
Here.
Yes.
Vance.
Vance.
Yes.
Hampshire.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Korfman.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Shoup.
Yes. This evening, we do have public comment from two different people. First up is Dan Leffler. If you'll come to the lectern, please state your name and address for the record.
Dan Leffler, 53 South Main Street, Marshallville, Ohio.
Go ahead.
Okay. The main thing is, for those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Dan Leffler. I am the current United City Workers President. And just a little things about this, for lack of a better term, is a resolution that's coming up. Changes, I'm going to read this because I wrote it down. If not, I'll ramble. So, changes being made are unpopular with most involved at the power plant, but after the details were revealed to us the other day, it eased some of the pain. For those of you who don't know, to obtain a stationary engineer's license, it requires 2,000 hours of operational experience, which is direct care, custody, and control of the units, or 1,000 hours and 125 hours of a boiler school or thermal school, whichever. So the maintenance guys will be pretty busy learning that stuff. For the operators, those of us that are on the maintenance side, it'll require quite a few hours of schooling in the trades, say welding, machining, and possibly some type of mechanical course of some kind to learn the mechanical stuff. The rest of us kind of just did it with a hands-on, on-the-job training type stuff. I mean, I've been there almost 27 years, so I've done a little bit of everything in there and go from there. So it's not going to be an easy task, but with cooperation from both sides as in union and management, it might or should work. So that's what I got. Thank you.
Thank you. This evening, we're also going to hear from Sean and Cochran. Would you please come to the lectern?
Sean Cochran, 4533 Baker Street, East Canton, Ohio, 44730. I'm going to speak pretty much on the same thing. My voice is a little shy. I coach little kids all weekend wrestling, so I might be hard to understand. My issues with this is, you know, people being forced into positions that they're not comfortable with. I'm a power plant operator too, which I know states on here, worker too, that's incorrect. I've been a city employee down there for almost 18 years now, and we have some issues that need addressed, and they were talked about last Friday. We've been left in the dark, and my comment, question, whatever you guys, you know, have you really gave it some thought? And because you're going to change people's lives. And I've been working at swing shift for years, and we went to a 12-hour shift, and I brought this up in front of Jeff and Dean and Phil when we talked the other day. I see my daughter 4 days a month. You know, I'm making a sacrifice. He said in the beginning when all this EPA stuff started, because that's, you know, that's the blame, that we're going to make sacrifices. And I've been doing multiple job classifications for over 3 years. And it's been compiling over and over and over again. And a lot of the thought is that it's not necessary to do this. Granted, I'm not a manager. I understand. I told them, you know, I was in the military. And I understand the mission comes first. But you got to take care of your people. And we're strung out. The morale down there is terrible. You know, and I'm not trying to throw anybody on the bus, but you guys need to take the time to talk to us and find out what's going on. And you're not going to like what you're going to hear. I scoot over there, so, you know, I'm walking the Christian life I'm trying to, you know what I mean? And I've talked to myself for the last week. What I'm going to say today, I'm just going to keep it simple because I'm pissed off. A lot of guys are. They're strung out. And we need answers, and we're not getting answers. We're not being talked to. And we believe, a lot of us, the reason why we were talked to last Friday is because of today, you know. And we don't work for the NSA. I've told them that many times. We don't work for intelligence agencies. There should be no secrets. I understand personnel issues with discipline, yeah, that should be talked about. But people need to know what's going on when it pertains to the operation of the planet, okay? They need to know. Because it's a dirty, nasty job. When Joe Messenger and Danny Forrest sat down with me, they told me a lot of people don't do that. And I've endured a lot, as well as some of my coworkers, you know, living in that place. The holidays, I've missed a lot with my kids doing stuff, and I've made the sacrifice over and over again, as many guys have. And we don't feel comfortable with the way things are being handled. You know, and I don't want to ramble on, and I could, but I get, like, really passionate about things that I believe in, and then I get hostile in my tone, and that's just my demeanor. It's the military that comes out of me. Because I'm not afraid to speak to anybody. You know, I've told four-star generals exactly what I feel. They may not have liked it, but at least they respect me for being honest. You know, you can ask me anything and I'll be honest with you, but I think you guys need to talk to us. You know, you really do. And you may not like what you're going to hear, but sometimes that's what we need. And we need to work together. And Dan's right, you know, we can make it work, but people need to feel secure in their jobs. They need to feel like it's going to be, you know, equal opportunity. And I'm going to tell you right now, down there, it's not. The city's supposed to be an equal opportunity employer, and it's not. And I'm not telling you just for myself. I'm speaking for other guys that aren't here. I've seen a lot of things that shouldn't have happened, the way people are treated. And it needs to change. You know, I'm willing to let things go and move on. You know, I don't have a problem with doing this. It is what it is. I have a job to do. But there are things that, in the stages of management, that need change. That's what I want.
Thank you.
That's not necessary.
All right, we will move to our standing committee reports. Finance, Mr. Espiris.
Thank you, Mr. President. Finance has not met. The only thing on the docket tonight is Resolution 5317, which is our 2018 temporary appropriations. And just remind council that we did review the budget back in June. This temporary appropriations, which you all have your booklets, and it's exactly the same. So it's up for second reading tonight. But I'm sure Ms. Strumman will answer any questions that anybody may have. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Utilities, Mr. Corbin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Utilities committee did not meet. There's no report for that. However, the nuisance committee did meet, and the grievance was listened to, and I think an appropriate response was come to. So I think the system's working. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you. Health and safety, Mr. Vance.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Health and Safety Committee has not met, and I have no report.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also have no report today.
Thank you. Transportation, Mr. Shute.
Thank you, Mr. President. Transportation has no report this evening.
Thank you. Planning, Mr. Hampshire.
Thank you, Mr. President. 646, nothing, sir.
Thank you. Ordinance and Personnel, Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and Personnel has not met. We have no report.
Thank you. We have no special committee reports this evening. We'll move to administrative reports. Mayor Handward.
Thank you, Mr. President. One item I wanted to mention is if any of our citizens have been following along in the paper with the couple of dispatch articles. If you read the entire article, you might have seen in the very last paragraph it did mention that Orrville was the one that really benefited from the WARCOG financially. I just wanted to point out that that is not the reason we joined, and by reading that you might assume that's why we joined. That might have been a part of the reason, but and some of our council members have heard this before, but quite frankly, our former police chief, Chief Carrozza, and Mr. Wheeler and myself were all dead set against joining the regional dispatch center because we felt like we wanted to just keep what we had. It was actually going on a tour of four different regional dispatch centers that changed our mind. We went with our now present chief, Chief Birkbeck, and also Chief Ballantyne at the time, fire department, and with Worcester administrative team, and visited those. And what we found is a group of dispatchers working together was pretty impressive. And there was one dispatch center that we went to that handles, I don't know, like 20 different entities. And at the time, they had four or five dispatchers working all at the same time. The equipment they were using was much more up-to-date than what ours was, and ours wasn't out-of-date by any means, but this was top of the line, and we saw how that worked. That is really the basis of what made us decide to change our minds. The fact that there was more than one dispatcher, and we had one dispatcher forever and ever down here, and we were one serious catastrophe away from having a real mess and putting that dispatcher in a real terrible position too. When you've got several dispatchers, they can help each other out. One can be doing one thing while one could be doing something else if you did have that major catastrophe happen. Later on, not too long after those visits, we were also getting wind that the state was going to soon require that you had to have more than one dispatcher on duty at a time anyway. And so the single dispatch units, like ours you were going to have to add another one anyway, which would have doubled our cost. And if you read the article, you saw that we're doing fairly well savings-wise by being in a dispatch. But I know, and I won't speak for all the officers, but everybody I've talked to said that they've been very pleased with the service from the WARCOG. We made changes at the same time with our radio. All of you are aware that we switched to the Marks radio system, which was another expense. But when you have a fire chief that can't get to his fire department and talk to his guys on the radio from the hospital down to the fire station, you got issues. And so that took care of those kind of problems, too. So bottom line is we're hoping, and I talked to the two daily record reporters today that wrote the articles. They had an awful lot of facts in there, but it seemed like everything was kind of one-sided to me. And I'm hoping and ask them if they would consider writing an article just from the other perspective, because some of it came across as Well, they forgot things. They forgot one thing, and that is that when this whole regional dispatch started here in Wayne County, it was the commissioners standing shoulder to shoulder with the city of Worcester trying to get all of us to join, because their statement was, in fact, that everybody wasn't paying their fair share for dispatch. And now that we are under a formula that people pay by, number one, their population, and number two, their number of fire calls, it is a fair way. But the county is not operating that way yet. Some of the prices that they're giving some of the villages to do their dispatching is nowhere near covering that. And so the question would be, if it's not covering it, and they also lost all of Worcester's dispatch, how are they paying for dispatch? I mean, why are they able to offer Rittman dispatch for $35,000 when they were going to charge us over $100,000 a year ago? So those are some of the things that didn't quite get in the article. So hopefully some of that maybe will come to light. I was asked if I would be willing to just write a letter to the editor, and I said, I don't think a letter to the editor is going to cover what needs to be covered. I'd like to see another article written with a different perspective. So we'll see where that goes. But I did want to point out to our citizens especially, you know, the finance part of that was a part of it, but that was not our reason. Our minds got changed when we went to visit those dispatch centers. That's really what did it for all of us. And the only other thing I'd say, and I didn't want to interrupt, but Mr. Cochran, when you were talking, the thing that would trouble me, and I see this all the time with citizens, when I get a call from a citizen, it's usually when something is boiled over for months, and then they finally are mad enough to skin the cat when they call me. And it seems like we needed to have a lot more from you guys before. If you were feeling as bad as what you're saying, I have lunch with people periodically from that department. I'm not hearing that from anybody. So that would have helped. If we knew there was red flags, maybe we could have had talks a long time ago. But hopefully we can get that started and go better from there, too. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Vance.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I can make an additional comment onto what the mayor said about the workhog situation. First of all, I want to say, Mr. Mayor, I agree with you completely. You make very, very good points, and you're absolutely correct. One thing that, as a member of council, we had a seat on the board there, what we do still do. And I was fortunate to be able to go to a few meetings. It's during the day, and so it's hard to get away. But let me tell you, the difference of our community being an owner of this dispatch center rather than being a customer, where we have no say, we don't have a seat at the table, we don't have a voice and a mechanism in which to affect the operations and to address issues and concerns directly the way that we do now. That is, I don't know how you can put a price tag on that, because the difference between being an owner and a customer in something like a dispatch center is very, very valuable. And that is a dynamic that we have now that I think is tremendous. And we have some of our former employees that were here. I know initially, I don't know if they still are, but I know initially were the dispatchers there.
Three of them there.
Yeah, and so I saw one comment, you know, they're wondering about the level of training and so forth. Well, they're very experienced, you know, because they came from here. And so anyway, that has been a tremendous benefit to us, is that being able to be a part of those meetings where our first responders are sitting at the table where these dispatch decisions and policies and procedures, hiring, and everything is being decided. And that is a tremendous benefit for our community.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Vance. We will move on to our safety service director. Mr. Wheeler is absent, but Mrs. Ensley will fill in nicely.
Thank you. I have a few things from Mr. Wheeler. The service department will be making what they hope is the final pass throughout town for leaf pickup. We are also getting ready for winter. Our plows have been installed on the trucks and our salt bins are full. Shop with a cop is this Saturday. There is still time to purchase raffle tickets. You can purchase those at the police department. They're open from 8 to 4. or Mrs. J's, Cabana Sun, or Total Look Salon. They are a dollar each. And the police department will also accept monetary donations for those that don't want to participate in the raffle. Okay. Some wonderful announcements that Mr. Wheeler wanted me to mention. Officer Lisi Herbert was selected by the Ohio Prosecuting Attorneys Association as the Officer of the Year for the state of Ohio for her brave response at the scene of the Paul Claren homicide. So that's a very well-deserved honor for her. We're thrilled to announce that retired Chief Bob Ballantyne was chosen as the Oroville Firefighters Association Firefighter of the Year in recognition of his 45-plus years career with the Oroville Fire Department. And so it's a great ending to a great career, and we thank him for all his years of service and wish him well in his retirement. And that is all that I had. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just one thing to add to that, along with Lisi being Officer of the Year, and that's the state of Ohio, as Kristen said. We also had our dispatcher from the WARCOG was Dispatcher of the Year this spring. That was awarded to her. And then also at the same time, Lisi received that award last week. Our own Wayne County Prosecutor, Dan Lutz, was given the honor of Prosecutor of the Year. So that's a lot of pretty good stuff going on right there. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kristen. We'll move now to our Utilities Director, Mr. Redinger.
Thanks, Mr. President. Just one point of interest. We did receive a notification from the county that our Main Street waterline project will be receiving a $500,000 grant to help out on that large project. That was what we had hoped for when we were factoring in our new rate studies there. So that's good news. That fits into our plans going forward. And other than a couple comments on the resolution tonight, that's all I have tonight, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll move to our finance director, Ms. Kremlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just have one item, and that would be the fund balance report for the period ending November 30th that was delivered to you prior to the meeting. I would ask for a motion to accept the report subject to audit.
Mr. Spears.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's up $5.7 million. I'll make that motion.
Thank you.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Corbin.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears?
Yes.
Corbin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Thank you.
That it for this
That's
evening?
All for this evening.
Thank you. We'll move to our law director, Mrs. Kirkland.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
Thank you. I have one item this evening. We need to appoint two members to the Fireman's Dependency Fund Board for 2018. Those members are Edward Hershey and Robert Ballantyne. We'll need a motion to do that. Mr. Spears? Okay. Second, Mr. Larson.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Thank you. We'll now move to old business. Mr. Larson.
Resolution number 5017. This resolution be placed on second reading.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes. Resolution number 5017, a resolution to establish the classifications of power plant technician 1, 2, and 3 in the classified service of the city of Oroville, Ohio, and to abolish the positions of power plant operator apprentice, power plant operator 1, power plant worker 2, and control room operator, and repealing all legislation inconsistent herewith.
Thank you. Do we have any further discussion? This is second reading.
Yeah, I just have a comment. We talked at the last city council meeting about the plan. I had Mr. McFerrin describe a little bit more of the details to that. He's here tonight to answer some questions. We've also had some comments on that. I just wanted to say that from a management perspective, we have been working on this ever since we've come out of the ruling with the agency that impacted and brought about the significant operational changes at the plant. This plan hasn't just evolved over a short period of time. We've also met with employees last week. We're planning further meetings in the weeks to come. And what I can tell you is, we're committed to make this happen. We're planning on training to begin as early as next year. Our job to make sure that we're operating safely, efficiently, and utilizing the manpower in the best way that we can to further the goals of that utility down there. So, again, if there's any other questions we can answer for you tonight, be happy to answer any of those.
Anyone have any questions for Mr. Grettier or Mr. McFerrin is here also? Mr. Vance.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I hate to see the sentiments coming from the workers that we are hearing. They're very valued by this community, and I don't know if anyone's prepared to answer tonight, but before we do take a vote on this, I would like to hear what the communication plan is, what means of communication have been used so far, newsletters, meetings with union personnel, or meetings with employees. I know one took place last Friday. I know this is a very difficult management problem. I understand that the challenges and constraints that have been placed upon utilities are daunting. At the same time, I'd like to have the idea that our workers are owning this a little more than what I'm hearing right now. So I'd just like to have a sense of that there is a plan and that we're working together, that there's an open line of communication, and that everybody is, like I said, is owning this and their role in it.
Yeah, let me have Phil step up there, and we'll kind of outline what we've been discussing and kind of go over the plans going forward with you.
Yeah, thank you.
I guess to go backwards first, we have not, just to be open, until this past Friday, we did not have open communication with the employees about this. And the reason for that is we have been using 2017 to get a good grasp of what the need is. And we did not want to take anyone down a road that wasn't going to be factual or wasn't going to take them to the place that we truly believed that they were going to go. And you are all aware that the operational demands at the power plant have changed drastically over the last 12 to 18 months. And so it has taken us a good rolling through the various seasons, seeing different peaks, seeing the low times to determine what the size of our workforce needs to be and what the skill set needs to be within that. So about 2 months ago, we were really able to finally nail down the job descriptions and finish up the training plan on what we needed to. And that's when we started the process of getting the legislation prepared and then eventually bringing it to this body. 2 weeks ago, we did that. We will be going to the Civil Service Commission on Thursday to have the job descriptions approved. So what we will plan on doing then, let me go back one more time. Friday, we did meet with the entire maintenance group and any of the operators that were available to come to the meeting. Two of our supervisors actually manned the control room in the plant so that the balance of those operators could come to the meeting, and anyone who was off duty and couldn't make it in will certainly meet with them. Monday, this next Monday, a week from today, the supervisors and myself will be meeting with each individual employee within the power plant, and we will be going over their job descriptions with them.
We will be going over the training plan with them, explaining where they will be classified within the new classification series, and then showing them where they go from here. If there are any concerns, that is going to be a really good time to get an individual conversation going with each one of them on what are their concerns and what can we do to alleviate that. There's some concerns that maybe I'm not going to be able to get the training completed that I need to complete. We want to put anything like that to rest. We are going to come alongside and do what we need to do to make sure that each one of these guys gets where they can get to. So from there, one of the suggestions at the meeting Friday was, hey, why don't we do this on a regular basis to get the information out there? It will be our intention to have these get-togethers to make sure that we're on the same page. Actually, the timing works well. This is a negotiation year. This fall, we will open up negotiations with this group, and so this gives us a good 8, 9, 10 months to work through some of these issues before we need to put it down in black and white. And at that time, you know, there's a real point of bargaining. Up to this point, this is not a mandatory subject for bargaining. A management right is to determine the size of the workforce, the makeup of the workforce, and the organization of which. As long as we are giving City Council the opportunity to approve the classifications and the Civil Service Commission the opportunity to make sure that the classification program is still legitimate and not compromised. So I don't know. Hopefully that answers your question.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Lepley mentioned, and you mentioned several times, extra training and in essence, doubling up of responsibilities, so to speak. Ms. Shelby mentioned 2,000 hours of training, 1,000 hours of training. My poor math mind, 40 hours a week, 50 hours, 50 weeks a year-ish, it's a whole year's worth of training on top of the job that they're currently doing. How's that going to, what's the plan to get that taken care of?
Sure. Jeff, and you can help me out here. One of the things that we're doing differently than we've done in the past is to get that 2,000 hours of training down to 1,000 to start with, is we are bringing in a group to do an in-house training to get everybody prepared for their steam engineer's license. That cuts the number of hours, like I said, from 2,000 down to 1,000. Because we have Boiler 13, we intend to bring that up if we need to, just for the cases of training, to get the guys where they need to be. We have no doubt that we're going to be able to do this. Again, the other reason that we are bringing these departments together is that now we have backup. Before, Mr. Cochran mentioned the hours and hours and shifts that we've worked. By doing this new organization, we will give some reprieve to the operations group to learn the maintenance trades. And while they're learning the maintenance trades, this allows us to get some of the maintenance employees into operations, and it starts to give us coverage so that we can do cross-training. So there is a plan there. Dean Callenborn and I have been working on this, and we really have no doubt that we can get these guys the licenses they need and the hours they need to do it. I think a good point would be that they used to have 16 people in operations. Now we're looking at about 17 to 18 total over both departments, and we never used to have problems getting hours in. So I don't foresee any issues getting the training hours that we need.
So I'm hearing you say, if I could just follow up, I'm hearing you say that they'll be trained during the normal workday.
Yes, sir.
And they won't be asked to spend another 8 hours after, like a double shift or weekends and so forth. And there will be someone if Mr. Vance and I were working, he would take care of our position, so to speak, and I'd be training, and then vice versa, because we're dual classified. Mm-hmm. If I'm using my
sure.
position.
The last hurdle is setting the schedule. We have every intention of consulting these guys on how we're going to schedule the various shifts and the various jobs, and training is going to be a critical component of that schedule. Once we have this classification series set up, that'll give us the luxury within the schedule to have training shifts or at least slots on various shifts specifically for training. So we feel very prepared for this, and that we're going to be able to prepare them for this. So long as we have the cooperation, I don't see any issues.
The schooling will take place during the day. Some of the training will be on back shifts. But when we bring that unit up, we'll be bringing it up for multiple shifts. And that will include us bringing units into service when they may not actually be economically brought into service to get those hours, training hours that we need. And we also have don't hold me to numbers, but at least three maintenance guys already that we've already had up in operations from a temporary transfer perspective that have also racked up some pretty good hours that will count towards that.
Yeah.
So we have had maintenance people up in operations during this process since our operations changed in February. So this process is basically a refinement of what we have been doing in a limited manner right now.
Mr. McFerrin, the steam plant operator's license in 1,000 hours as you do it internally, is that still portable? Is that still is it a state credential? Is it, and they can take that with them if they...
Steam engineer's license is issued by the state of Ohio.
Okay.
And that is something they own. They mentioned 2 weeks ago the interview process that we weren't able to select anyone. Several of those guys brought their license from the state of Ohio, and we would have been able to accept that. It's just like a driver's license or something like that. That is important.
And the fact that it's condensed down into 1,000 hours doesn't diminish the...
No, because we are accelerating the training.
Okay.
So where the training used to be kind of self-taught, here's a book, study it, go take your test, we are bringing people in-house to make sure that they get so many hours of training in lieu of actual hands-on operating experience. But it's not like they're only going to get a shift. They still have to have 1,000 hours. It's not there's a significant amount of time on the floor. Okay.
And this process isn't designed to be operating overnight. These changes have been happening to us for quite a while. This is an evolving process. So this is, we want to try to get this accomplished in as short a period of time as possible, but we're not rushing this. But we do have to be very deliberate about that. So we will be driving this thing to make it happen. Our primary focus from a training perspective will be getting our maintenance people trained in operations to get that experience first, and then we'll work with the operations side kind of coming back to the maintenance. But that's where our biggest need is right now. And again, that is Mr. Lovely mentioned, and we have said this a number of times here. We are in the best position to do that with the staffing that we have. These guys already know these jobs right now.
Mr. Vance.
Thank you, Mr. President. When did you say these one-on-one meetings are scheduled to begin?
We from today. Next Monday.
Thank you.
Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I think along that same vein, some of the questions is, I think it's a concern of personal time management, okay, with training and so forth. So with some of the concerns, I was under the perception that with the changes, there would be shared swing shift responsibilities and so forth. So can you explain a little better, does that fall within specific classifications, or is it an equal sharing across the board?
Well, first thing I want to do is we are going to do everything possible to stop using the word swing shift. We have operated our power plant on a swing shift for decades. And one of the things that I think is exciting about this, certainly if you've been in operations forever, we're going to be moving away from a swing shift to more of an assigned shift. That, again, we're going to be working with them. That is a topic of bargaining, and that's something that we will need to discuss with the union, but on how we do shift bidding and how we assign shifts. So operations has been swinging, for decades. And I think one of the major sources of heartburn for our maintenance group is they have not had to work shifts as to this point. Sure, when we have outages or there's something goes wrong in the middle of the night, they get called in and they come in and they do the job. But moving forward, this maintenance group will have to work on off shifts. However, we are going to be able to communicate that ahead of time because we want to do it at the times that it's most economical. Or if there's a time that we know we need to do some training, we will give the advance notice, we will make sure that everyone is on their assigned shift, and we will use those shifts to do whatever is training or maintenance in lieu of during that time. So the shift work is an issue, but it isn't something that we don't have a plan for and we're not going to work together with them on.
Anyone else have any questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll move to our next.
Resolution number 5317. I move this resolution be placed on second reading.
Second, Mr. Portman.
Portman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Resolution number 5317. A resolution to make appropriations for current expenses and other expenditures in the City of Oroville, State of Ohio during the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2018 and declaring an emergency.
Okay. This is a second reading for this. Ms. Trimlin, do you have anything additional for us?
I can just make some additional comments. As Mr. Asparis mentioned, we prepared the budget in June. The temporary appropriations are identical to that. We had an opportunity to review that budget at the workshop. The total budget is $58 million, $8 million for the general fund, and $9 million for the other tax-supported funds, and $41 million for the enterprise funds. This legislation allows us to expend funds for the first 3 months of 2018 until we adopt or council adopts final appropriations at the end of March. And we should let this go for the full three readings.
Anyone have any questions for Ms. Trimlin? Okay, that concludes our old business. We'll move to new business. Mr. Larson.
Resolution number 5517. I move this resolution be placed on the first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Spears.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Portman?
Yes.
Resolution number 5517. A resolution to accept the recommendations of the Oroville Tax Incentive Review Council regarding tax abatements for companies located in the City of Oroville, Ohio.
Ms. Ensley.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is an annual piece of legislation. Every year we have our Housing Council and our Tax Incentive Review Committee that meets with every company that has an abatement. We review what their investment levels are, and they make a recommendation to continue or amend or rescind. And so this is that annual legislation.
Anyone have any questions or comments? Mr. Spears.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ms. Ensley, is there any entity that did not make this list?
No, this is a list of all the incentives that we have, tax incentives, and they all were recommended to be continued.
So they've all met their obligations?
They've all met their obligations, yes.
That's pretty impressive.
It is very
impressive.
Although
we are in a good economy.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mr. Chu.
Thank you. Kristen, wasn't JLG on one of these? Are they off, or because they're closing, it's not listed here?
JLG never had an actual tax abatement, whether it was an enterprise or a community reinvestment area. They did have a job creation tax credit at one point in time, but they have never had a tax abatement, which is just what's listed here. Those are the ones we review annually.
And that job creation tax credit has expired.
I'm sorry?
The job creation tax credit expired several years ago.
Okay. I thought they were on this list before. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
I'm
move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Hampshire.
Shoup?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes. I move resolution number 5517 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Asparis.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, that completes our agenda for this evening. Does anyone have anything for the good of the order tonight? Mr. Vance.
Mr. President, I move to be adjourned.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Spears.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending our meeting. We're now adjourned.
Oh, okay, so then when you do that, all right.